I got weird light behind me. Should I?
Oh, I'm live. This is so exciting. Hello, everyone. Hello, the people of Lynn Venture. It's very nice to be here with you. Usually when I'm doing videos, I'm recording it and it's like you don't see it for 2 weeks. And so I love the idea that we're able to do this live and just talk about some things and share with each other what's happening right now. The thing that I really want to talk about today, actually, I was thinking about doing it in a lot of the lives over the next little bit, is this, okay? Speak more to lose weight. I believe that unresolved emotional issues cause me to eat, which then causes me to gain weight, which, oh, hey, I've got some people who've jumped on. I'm going to say hello to Becky, hello to Craig. I think that my, please feel free to ask questions or make any comments because there's four of us here and I think we have plenty of time to answer questions and talk about different things. Hello, Lee. What we're going to talk about is the idea of unresolved emotions and how they affect me gaining weight, and I think lots of other people. So I'm hoping that the things that I'm going to share will be helpful to you so that you can implement some of these things in your life too. So I actually spent most of my childhood having trouble speaking up. I can think of a number of situations where I didn't speak up for myself. I was raised by a mother who didn't talk much, who didn't speak up, who didn't share how she felt, didn't share what she was thinking. She was the kind of typical Cold War kind of person where if she and my dad had a problem, he would say, "What's the matter?" She would say, "Nothing." Or she would say, "You know, how are you doing?" He would say, "How are you doing?" She would say, "Fine." Oh, hello, Mason. And it would be just a cold war, like no communication would be happening. And so that's really the environment in which I was raised. When I was young, I was working at a store and a man would come into the store to visit me and he would talk about things and everything. I was so embarrassed by him seeking me out. He was very old at the time and I felt a lot of condemnation from the people who I worked with. I felt I was embarrassed, I was humiliated, and I kind of put that man off, and I was curt with him, and I didn't answer his questions very well. Like, I'm a big talker. I can talk a lot. So I wouldn't have had any trouble talking with him, but because of my emotions related to him coming and visiting, I didn't use words, and I had a lifetime of not using words. You know, another example is that I was hired to clean and polish the silverware of my mother's friend. And I did that. But the problem was I was given specific instructions to not leave the polish on. I was told you put the polish off on and you rub it right off. I didn't do that. I left it on. It's got caked on. And then she came back and was upset because I hadn't followed her instructions. I didn't do it right. So I felt embarrassed. I felt humiliated. I felt ashamed. And I went to not talking. I have many other experiences like this. I when I was very young, I won't go into that. But in 1992, I was working like a big girl job. I had already graduated from college. And I was a supervisor at work. It was like a regular, real grown-up girl job. And I did really well there. I had a fantastic time. I got excellent performance evaluation reviews. It was going very well. And I had a day, a new boss came in. And within days of a perfect evaluation as an employee, within days, I was terminated. And I was devastated. Because I had actually forgot, I had actually chosen not to go to a friend's wedding reception and I stayed at work instead. And yet they didn't pay me for loyalty. They certainly didn't compensate me in any way for staying there. And in the end, they fired me. And that is when my whole world changed related to using words. Now, even though I started using words then, and now that, because that was 92. So what's this? 92, 02, 12, you know, was that? That's, you know, 28 or 9 years ago. I still struggle with using words when I get upset. I still struggle sharing my emotions when I'm upset. And I do the typical thing of eat my emotions. And I know there's lots and lots and lots of other people who do this. When I, in 1992, when I was fired and I was so very upset about that, I wanted to say nothing and do nothing, but I knew that was wrong. I knew that wasn't the right approach for me because I felt so unjustly accused. I was so crazy unjustly accused. It was enough of a motivation, enough of a momentum for me to actually do something about it. I filed a grievance. And in the end, it took a number of months for the whole process to go about. But in the end, I won, and they gave me like a severance package, and I had originally been terminated and they said I was unhirable, but they actually then said, well, no, we will let her come back and work here again because I was let go. I was fired erroneously. And so a lot of that got dialed back. But the big part of that was that I had the opportunity to learn how to, hello, I'm going to say Felice, and I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Hello, Felice. I hope, but the thing that gave me, the big gift that experience gave me of being fired was that I had to speak up. Thank you. Thanks, Felice. I'm glad I said that right. I had to speak up. I was forced to speak up because I was so unjustly accused. And speaking up at that time became the beginning of me being able to speak up throughout my life. Like I kind of went from almost a negative number in my childhood where I didn't speak up at all to that was the beginning stage. And now in my marriage to Mac, which is a safe place, it's a beautiful place. Hello, Olga. Olga. No, that's not Olga. That's Nellie. Hi, Nellie. It's a safe place for me to be. And since it's a safe place for me to be, I'm more apt to be able to express my feelings and my emotions. And so I continue to work on that. For the people who watch the channel, you know that I'm working on this no late night snacking kind of worksheet or whatever, because I can't let the emotions be trapped. I can't let the emotions just sit there and not be processed, because if I do, then I want to eat and I turn to food, and I don't want to do that because I'm on a journey to get to 244 pounds. So a couple of years ago, let's see, now maybe 2.5 years ago, I was diagnosed with diabetes, and I have always considered myself a healthy person. Like I never had gestational diabetes when I gave birth. I have no family history of diabetes. I had never been diagnosed as borderline, nothing, just completely out of a clear blue sky. I was diagnosed with diabetes and I was shocked. It ended up that I received that from my doctor through a text message. So it wasn't even like I was in the office in person and he's like, oh, I have some news I want to tell you. No, I received it through a text message because we had kind of been playing phone tag and we just couldn't connect with each other. I was devastated. I just was shocked. I couldn't believe it. But that really began my huge desire to change things. And so that first year, I lost 60 pounds. And I did it mostly by increasing my exercise, increasing my water, and tracking all my food and having a certain calorie amount on my food, choosing whole foods, eating healthy foods. And so I lost that 60 pounds. And so that was fantastic. But I didn't at that time consider the weight, and I'm going to do this, weight involved in the emotional aspect of eating, losing weight. So I have now started this. I'm calling it no more late night snacking, but I think it could be used at any time. And the first step, so I'm still kind of tweaking this. I'm using it. I'm doing it every day, but I'm kind of tweaking it. The first step is get away from food. When I wrote this up, that wasn't my first step. But as I was using it and practicing it, I thought, oh, that needs to be my first step. Get away from food. Get away from the kitchen. Get away from snacks. Get away from all of it. The second one is that I don't know if you remember. Oh, actually, it came out today. The video that came out today with Wendy, who had lost 50 pounds like 8 years ago or something. In the video, she was saying that food thoughts, whether you give in to them or don't give in to them, pass in 15 minutes. And I had not heard that before. So step two is craving and food thoughts pass in 15 minutes, whether I give into it or not. So I'm trying to remember that. Then the next thing I talk about is what is happening in the back of my mind. So Brené Brown would say, you know, what's the story we're making up? Because usually there's this running dialogue or this rant or vent or negative self-talk. There's something happening in the back of the mind that is happening, and there's a story there. So I want to identify the story. Then the next thing is, once I identify what the story is, I then identify the emotion that's attached to it. So the emotions that I came up with originally, the ones that I felt like were going to be the take-home ones, were sad, angry, afraid, embarrassed, and disappointed. So those are the ones that I first thought, oh, that's going to cover everything. Like, I don't feel anything other than that. Those are the only ones that I ever feel. And so as I've worked through this at night when I'm trying not to eat, I've added resentful, because one night I felt resentful. I added guilty, because one night I felt guilty. And then someone else chimed in and said that one of the ones that they feel often is overwhelm. So I added that. So now I have a longer list. Then I say out loud, I feel blank, like guilty. I feel guilty because, and for me, it was that particular day that I felt guilty. It was because I was sitting down with the family watching a movie instead of doing something productive. And then I'm talking about, was it in the past? And in this instance, no. Was it in the present? Yes. And then out loud, answer the question, what's the worst thing that could happen? So this idea of basically projecting a catastrophe, you know, catastrophizing, where it's the very worst thing that could possibly happen. Put that out there. Then, let's see, how am I handling that? If that is the worst thing that could happen, how could I handle that? And in most of the instances, I determined I could handle it just fine. So then, of course, my typical thing, I can do hard things. I can do hard things. I can do hard things. Because I love the idea that we can do hard things, because we can do hard things. We can all do hard things. That's kind of like our job. And I'm really about progress, not perfection. I don't want to get involved with a bunch of perfection. I want to get involved with progress. So as I'm working through speaking more to lose weight, I want to speak about my emotions more to lose weight. So this little write-up is just one way to be able to do that. So I'm going to kind of open it up to you. You let me know if you have any questions or any comments or anything that you'd like to share about that. Because I'm looking at the timer and I see that I have just spoken by myself for almost 14 minutes. So if you have any questions you want to ask, you have any comments, you have anything you want to say, this would be a great time to do that. Nothing. Okay. All right. Well, I think I'm going to close my very first go live. I think it's been a ginormous success. I've had a great time. I hope you've had a great time. Oh, wait, hang on. We're getting a comment. This is so exciting. The comment says, and I don't know, I think you can see the comments too. I'm not the only one. So I'll read it out loud, but we can all see it, I think. It takes practice to understand what you're feeling. I understand that 100%. I believe that 100%. You figure I have been practicing in various ways since 1992. 1992, I've been practicing. And I still am not completely there. Well, I'm nowhere near to there, but I do continue to practice. And, you know, one of the things that I kind of wish I had done a better job is teaching the children better to recognize their emotions, be able to label their emotions, and be able to work with their emotions. Like, for those of you who watch the channel, I have a son, and he's really good at me. Oh, what's the matter if I'm upset? What's the matter? And I'm able to say, oh, I feel this, or I'm thinking this, or this is what's going on with me. And one of the reasons why I can do it so comfortably with him is because I trust him. I trust him to be careful with my emotions. I trust him to, like when I think about it, really our emotions, when we're expressing our emotions or the things that are upsetting us or bothering us, we're really asking the other person to kind of, can you see my hands? To kind of like hold those emotions and those experiences right in the palm of our hands, just this little nest. We want our emotions to be in this little teeny nest and taken very, very good care of. And if we can consistently have that experience with other people, we're much more likely to try again. Let's see. Also, I have to be vulnerable to see what I'm feeling. Yes, vulnerability is huge. It's a huge component to the emotions. We have to be vulnerable. We have to be willing to be vulnerable. I wonder if that's the first step. So in, as many of you know, we have another channel called That's So True. And in That's So True, I think we have about three videos talking about vulnerability. So when Mac and I got married, because we had both been married before, we had both been hurt before, it was really hard for us to be emotionally vulnerable. And we would say it is really hard to be emotionally vulnerable, even though we want to be closer. And we know that being vulnerable is the pathway to being closer, but it's not as easy. It's not as easy as that. You can't just say, oh, I'm going to be closer. I'm going to be more vulnerable. There's such an element of trust. It's such a huge element of trust. That's got to be where it is. Okay, let's see. What do we have here? Boredom. Boredom. Are you saying that boredom is another emotion that we might want to eat over? Please answer if you can. Okay, I got another comment. If you're going to eat your feelings, eat tacos. That seems like good advice. Although for me, I would much rather have cookie candy cake ice cream because those are kind of my go-tos. Okay. Yes. So boredom. All right. I'm going to do that. I'm going to add. So because I'm adding to my list of emotions, see, I have them penciled in. I haven't even typed them in. I'm going to add boredom because I like that. I think eating from boredom is a thing. People do eat because they're bored. Boredom is now on my list of emotions. Is boredom an emotion? I don't know. Boredom? I know. I'm going to add to the list of boredom because I do know that people eat when they're bored. That is an actual thing. Okay. All right. Well, I think that's about it. I don't think I have anything else to say about that other than I'm going to continue to go live and we're going to continue to talk about speaking up so that we eat less. Speak more to lose weight. Speak more to eat less. Speak more to be able to work through our emotions. Thank you. We got another comment. This has been great. Thank you so much. I have really enjoyed it and I'm excited and I'm going to do it again because it went really well. So I have to give you my regular close. So this is where I don't know what you can see there. I don't know if you can see that this is through our channel called, well, my channel called Lynn Venture. And on this channel, we kind of try to have fun, get healthy, inspire each other, enjoy each other, and just kind of make our way through life. And one thing that's really important to me is for people to feel accepted and for people to feel included. And so on the channel, I want people to feel accepted and feel included. And I feel like acceptance a lot of times comes from having a feeling of it's good enough or I'm good enough. Like, it's good enough is a great phrase. Like, there's a lot of things we do and we make efforts. We make lots of efforts. And sometimes our efforts don't yield 100% success, but it's still good enough. we are still making effort, and we have to keep trying. We have to keep making efforts because our efforts matter. They do matter. Even our smallest efforts in any way. I had this thing hanging up in my room when I was a child. It said, the smallest good deed is better than the grandest good intention. And I believe that to be true. Our efforts matter. And I will talk to you. Oh, wait, let's see. Do we have anything? I feel great. Speak, not eat. Yes, Lee. Perfect. Speak, not eat. I'm glad you feel accepted. And where's the fight? I don't know about the where's the fight. And I will see you next time I go live. End stream.